ॐ अज्ञानमिदण्डस्य ज्ञानाञ्जनशलाकाय चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः।
हरे कृष्ण। We are most honored and grateful to be here this evening amongst all of you. Tomorrow is the auspicious occasion of Yasha's birthday. And thus he has all called us together to serve us prasad, to give us loving hospitality, and to gather us for hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord, which is the highest fulfillment of the aim of human life. According to Srimad Bhagavatam, with every rising and setting of the sun, we are one day closer to death. Ayur Harati Vaipungshan. And every year, we're 365 days closer to death. So, should a birthday be celebrated, or should it be mourned? That is a good question. But Bhagavatam resolves this. Ayu Hardi Vaipungsam. It explains, but for one who hears and chants the glories of the Lord, for one who lives in a spirit of service to the Lord, with every rising and setting of the sun, we are one day closer to eternal life. And therefore, with every year, we are 365 days closer to eternal life, full of bliss and knowledge, and the spiritual abode is an eternal associate of Krishna. Therefore, birthday is a glorious day to celebrate. No. Providing we're doing the right thing. Otherwise, it's a day where we're celebrating, but we don't really know what's happening. We're closer to death. Durlabha manava janma lobhya samsare. The human life is very rare. Birth in this world as a human being is a very, very rare opportunity. Durlabha manava janma satsange taraha e bhavo sindare. There are 8,400,000 species of life according to Padma Purana. And in each species of life, we are struggling for our existence. We get some enjoyment, we get some suffering, and ultimately six transformations. This the holy scriptures tell us, that every living being within this universal creation goes through six transformations. We are born, we grow, we endure for some time, maintain, and then gradually we dwindle, and then there's disease, and then there's death. So the ant, the bacteria, the grass and the trees, the fish, the birds, the reptiles, the animals, are going through these six transformations. And between the time of one's birth and the time of the departure of the body, many joys and many sorrows come to our life according to our previous activities, which is the laws of karma, which are imperceptible, inconceivable. And this is the 8,400,000 species of life are God-given facilities through material nature for certain types of happiness and distress. But the lower species are simply evolving because they have no free will. They cannot produce karma. They only live out their karma. But the culmination of this evolutionary cycle of the lower species is to take a human birth. That human birth is so rare. We may think that the world is overpopulated because it has, 6 billion people? But how many living entities are there? There's probably more than 6 billion living entities in your body. Yes? Considering all the bacteria and everything else. What to speak of 6 billion people, each having 6 billion people in their bodies. And all of them, just in Bombay alone, the mosquitoes and rats must practically outnumber their population. So many. But human life, why so rare? Because the free will of the soul is restored within the human life. In the previous species, the soul has free will, but it is covered by the modes of ignorance and passion. But in human birth, that free will is restored. And therefore, it is the junction in which we can choose to live according to our desires. We could live in a very, very ignorant way and go back into the lower species. We can act in a very passionate way and take varieties of human births in the future. We can act in very good ways in sattva guna and get very prosperous opportunities in the next human birth, or even elevate ourselves to higher planets within the material universes. But Krishna tells in Gita, Abrahma bhuvana loka punar avatanojana mamupetito kontiya punar janmana vidyate. All this karma, whether it's good karma, bad karma, whether you go down to the lowest planets of the Patala lokas, or whether you go to the highest planet of Brahma loka, still life is temporary. And any temporary situation can only frustrate the eternal soul. Why? Like a fish. A fish is naturally happy in water. But if you take the fish out of water, will the fish be happy? Nirvana, did you ever take fish out of water? Did you ever take a fish out of water? Vedanta? I'll tell a little story. Some time ago, I was at Udupi, and I was walking along the seashore, and I saw a little fish about this big. He was laying on the sand. It was a morning walk. The sun was quite hot, and this little fish, about this long and about this wide, was just laying on the sand, flapping in pain, just flapping and flapping and flapping in such pain. Oh, he was so afraid, he was bewildered. Didn't know whatever time it was living in this world. It was a baby fish, I think. I couldn't tell if it was male or female, because I'm not so expert. But this little fish was swimming so playfully in the water, and somehow a wave just brought it to the land and left it there. And it was just so confused, suffering so much, so disoriented. So I picked up that little fish, and it got so afraid of me that it just flopped right out of my hand. And then I picked up the little fish again, and it was so doubly afraid of me, because I must look like a huge, ugly monster to this little fish. You know, who is this gigantic creature picking me up? And I picked up, just flopped right out of my hand. About 5 times it flopped out of my hand. But I was trying to save the fish's life. So finally, with both hands, I grabbed that little fish. I grabbed it and I put it in the cup of my hand and I threw it into the sea. And I was thinking, I did a very good deed. I saved the fish. But then the next wave came up. Then went back into the sea. And left the fish on the sand. So again I picked up the little fish and threw it as far as I can into the sea. And left the fish on the sand. This happened 3 times. And I was determined. I was determined that I was going to save this fish. Meanwhile, some fishermen were watching me and they thought I was a completely crazy person. So I picked up that little fish again, and this time I walked into the sea with the fish in my hands. And I walked in. Meanwhile, while he was between my hand, I could feel him going, and I was going. And I walked all the way up to my shoulders into the sea. And then threw it far as I can. Then I came back. No fish. I was feeling so happy. I did a very good deed. Plus, I was chanting Hare Krishna the whole time in the ear of the fish. Because just mundane philanthropy is not enough. We have to do something for the soul. So I was like, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. I chanted Maha Mantra very loud and threw the fish into the water, and I was very happy. And then I walked a little while, maybe 5 minutes down the way, and I saw these fishermen. The way they do fishing in that part is there's about a dozen fishermen, and they have this big long net. It's probably, 20 yards long, 20 meters long or more. And they keep it like that in the sea, and then they all picked it up from different sides, and they were carrying that net in, and they put that net right in the sand, and there were thousands and thousands and thousands of little fish in it. And I was thinking many lessons. That we're all like that little fish. Krishna descends into this world. Janma karma cha me divyam evam yo veti tatvata tyaktva deham punarajanma naiti mameti sorajana. In 4th chapter of Sri Bhagavad Gita, Krishna tells, one who understands the transcendental nature of my appearance and activities does not take birth again in this material world, but attains my eternal abode. So Krishna descends again and again and again into this world And not only that, but he sends his prophets, his sons, his representatives, the sadhus, the gurus, just to try to take us out of the hot sand of material existence and put us back into the ocean of transcendental happiness, where we belong. It's our natural home. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur explained that the material world is actually a foreign land for the eternal spirit soul. We are meant to be swimming in an ocean of nectarine love. It's not natural for that which is eternal to be trying to be happy with that which is temporary. Yehi samsparashacha bhoga dukha jonayevate. It's very difficult. So Krishna is so kind, and his representatives are so kind. And I was just thinking, even when the sadhus come and try to pick us up, we're flapping and flapping and flapping, and we try to flap right out of their hands. Yes, and they try to pick us up again, and we flap out of their hands. Why? Because we become so conditioned. We're afraid to leave our situation. Just like Prabhupada told it. This story Prabhupada explains is in the Puranas. Where Indra was cursed to become a hog. Which would you rather be, Indra or hog? Huh? Indra or hog? Indra? Very good. Correct answer. But a hog in Vrindavan is even better than Indra. When you come to Vrindavan, you'll see many hogs. But Indra was cursed to be hog, from such a high position to such an abominable condition. But the nature of the world is we become so conditioned to our temporary identities, and we become attached to the environment. It's just our nature. Anandamayobhyashat. Being part of God. We're looking for pleasure. So we become conditioned to whatever situation we're in. So thus Lord Brahma approached Indra and said, "We need you in the heavenly world. Swargaloka. Come back. And Indra said, "No. I have my family, I have my responsibilities, I have my duties here, I will not come back." Hare Krishna. So similar to that, we're laying in the sand and the sadhus try to put us back, but somehow or other we're so reluctant. That is why it is so important to have faith. What is the essence of faith? The essence of faith is we're willing to put our lives in the hands of God, knowing that He will bring us to our real home, where there is real comfort, real love, eternally for our soul. That is faith. Faith in Guru, faith in true sadhus, and faith in God. That yes, I know, if I'm just rest assured, we just allow them to take us back home, back to God. That is the conclusion of Bhagavad Gita. Sarva dharman parityajya mam ekam sharanam braja aham tvam sarva papibhyo moksha ishami masaja. Abandon all varieties of so many rituals and this and that and religious, and just go to the essence of all religion, the purpose of it all. Surrender to me. I shall deliver you from all reactions, of all sins, of all karmas. I will take you home. Do not fear.
Daivi yeshu gunamai mama maya duratyaya mam evam ye prapadyante maya metat tarantite.
Krishna tells that this material nature is very difficult. These three modes of material nature, goodness, passion, and ignorance, are like ropes that very much keep us bound up. Very difficult to overcome. But Krishna says, one who takes shelter of me can easily cross beyond. So like that little fish, if we just allow ourselves to be taken back home, allow ourselves to be taken to our real eternal land of real promise and comfort, our home, then Krishna will take us home. He comes again and again. He gives us his word in the holy scriptures. He gives us his grace through his devotees. But yet we're so stubborn because we have so many attachments and so many egoistic conceptions and so many insecurities and fears. But the great souls never give up. They'll keep trying because Krishna will always be there for us. Krishna's within our heart. No matter what we do, he never leaves us. Who is a better friend than this? Whatever we may do, even against him, he'll always remain right in our heart as our closest friend, just waiting for the opportunity to fulfill the innermost desire of our hearts. That is Krishna. And when I saw that net, I was thinking, that's the way Maya works. For every one rare soul that could be saved, she's duping tens and millions to remain bound to a life of karmic activities. The net. And then I started to reflect how Maya is so clever. So clever. She tells us exactly what she's doing and we don't even understand. Yes. We can learn from nature so many things. Have you seen how the spider makes a web and the fly gets caught in it? And the more the fly tries to get out, the more it becomes entwined and entangled. So, now there's the email. And they call the emails, the sites, they call them websites. Yes, come to the site and you'll fall into the web. And where do you find the website? You find it on the internet. And every television station is called a television network. Yes? And a radio network. And even when we try to make money, it's called net profit. We're trapped. Whichever way we go, we're trapped. So this human life is very rare, very special. And the rarest thing, the most valuable thing in this human life is the association of those who love God.
Dulabamarava janama satsange tarohe babo sindure.
The rarest, most priceless thing we can possibly achieve within this human form of life is the satsang of those who love God.
Lord Chaitanya said, sadhu sangha, sadhu sangha, sarva sastra koi, lava matra sadhu sangha, sarva siddhi hoy.
Says, this is the conclusion of all the scriptures. Whether it is the Bible, the Quran, the Old Testament, the New Testament, all the Upanishads, the four Vedas, the Puranas, the Vedanta Sutra, the Mahabharata, Srimad Bhagavat, Granth Sahib, all the scriptures of the world. The essence is that one moment's association with those who have pure hearts, who love God, is the most priceless thing that we can possibly achieve in life.
Rishabhdev said, Mahat Sevam Dwaram Ahuravu Muktes Tamodwaram Yoshita Sangvi Sangam,
which means that by serving the great souls, the doors to liberation are opened wide. But by associating with persons who are materialistically oriented, then the doors to the lower modes of ignorance are opened wide.
And the Bhagavatam describes that far greater achievement than attainment of heavenly planets, than attainment of the mystic cities, far greater achievement, more priceless than liberation itself, is one moment's association with those who love God. So priceless. Why? Because that association opens the doors to the highest perfection, opens the doors to that bhakti rasamrita sindhu, to that unlimited, fathomless ocean of nectar, the nectar of prema, Krishna prema.
So one who understands the value of human life is actually, really, a human being.
If we have this human life, but we don't use it for its purpose, then the Vedas explain, we may have the human opportunity, but our lifestyle is like an animal with two legs.
Rishabhdev has said that.
Nayam deho deha bhajam no loke kastan kamarn arhati vipujamje.
That sense gratification is available for the dogs and hogs that eat stool.
Now that we have attained the rare, precious, valuable human life, use it for its exclusive purpose, which is self-realization.
God has created human existence for self-realization.
We shouldn't waste it just pursuing of sense gratification, temporary enjoyments and suffering, because those things are available to all the species. It's so rare.
In fact, Vishnu Purana says, what is the greatest tragedy in all of existence? Now we could think of thousands of tragedies that could come upon us. Heartbreaking tragedies. Body-breaking tragedies. But according to Vishnu Purana, the greatest tragedy is to take this human birth, which is so rare, so precious, and to waste 1 minute. That is the greatest tragedy. every moment is so sacred. Every moment is such a blessed opportunity. So one who utilizes this human birth for these higher purposes is most fortunate and most glorious. And therefore, for such human beings, yes, every day is a celebration. Every moment is a celebration. Even their birthday is a celebration. In the Vedic times, do you know what Krishna and Balaram used to do for their birthday? It tells in Srimad Bhagavatam. Because every day they would go out to herd the cows, Krishna and Balaram. But on their birthday, they kept back. Balaramji would be kept back on his birthday. Krishna would be kept back, and all the others would go out and herd the cows, but they would be kept back. And do you know what they did? Nanda and Yashoda arranged throughout the day they would be giving cows and charity to the Brahmins. Because the nectar of life is not to take, it's to give. Now in today's world, everybody expects something on their birthday. But actually the greatest privilege is to receive blessings. The greatest thing we can achieve in life is blessings. And blessings naturally are reciprocated through service. To give prasad, to give hospitality, to give kindness. That's how Krishna and Balaram spent their birthday. They would give cows, and give grains, and just be nice. And the Brahmins would give blessings. And Nanda and Yashoda were happy. Just like Srila Prabhupada, he talked about his childhood when he was a little boy living in Calcutta. They lived near their family deity, Radha Govinda. And every night, Prabhupada would invite 5 to 7 sadhus to the home. Every night. Prabhupada's father, Gaur Mohan Day, would invite 5 or 10 sadhus to their home. And they would cook for them and they would feed them. And then afterward, every night, Gaur Mohan Day would ask the sadhus, please bless my son. That's all I ask. Please bless my son that he will be a pure devotee of Radharani. That Radharani's blessings will be upon him. And Prabhupada, he was just a little boy at the time. He was listening to this every night. So he understood from his father what was really of value. What was really priceless in this world. Blessings. But not ordinary blessings. Not blessings to get good grades and exams. That's temporary blessings. But the ultimate blessing is to be a pure devotee, to have love for Srimati Radharani. So he held that virtue, he held that goal very close in his heart. Because that's the environment that his father raised him in. Prabhupada said every morning when he would rise, he would hear a bell ringing, and he would come and he would see his mother and father worshiping the deity. And therefore, he naturally, just by watching his mother and father, you know, when he wanted to play, he would just play with deities. Because every child very much looks up to their parent. Every child wants to be like parent. Haribo. Thank you very much. Please have safe journey back to London. Hare Krishna, thank you very much. and Prabhupada wrote summary study of Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, Krishna book. He dedicated it to his father, Gaur Mohan Day, because he inspired that devotion and love for Radha and Krishna from his earliest childhood. Such a deep love based on such genuine knowledge. So this human life is so special, so precious, so rare. And today we are celebrating because we're so pleased to see Yasha and Avanti and their family living such very nice devotional lives. From what I have observed, Yash, you're a very special soul. Really. I mean, he's passed through inconceivable tragedies and remains so positive, so happy, so generous, and with such faith in God. It's a wonderful blessing. And how eager Avanti and Yash are to participate in spiritual events. It's a wonderful, wonderful blessing. And how they're raising their children, Vedanta, Nirvana, and Sloka, raising them to be happy wearing traditional devotional clothes. I do not see many children your age wearing these types of nice devotional clothes and singing bhajans, learning slokas, and little sloka. Just so charming and sweet, just being nourished with bhakti. So nice. And they bring sadhus to their homes. And when their children see the parents learning about Bhagavad Gita and Krishna, then naturally they also take interest. So it is not only very nourishing and fulfilling to your own hearts, but it's an example, the highest example you could possibly give to children, to show them your genuine interest. So yes, it's very special to be in the high society that you are and to not drink alcohol, not take drugs, not to smoke cigarettes. It's quite rare. It's almost an extinct species. It's an endangered species in the high society of Bombay, from what I have heard. But this is very special. In that type of environment, with those types of colleagues, to maintain moral principles, ethical principles, to protect one's children from those vices, it's very special. Today, we have all gathered together, and with the love of our hearts, we wish to congratulate and offer our gratitude to you, Yash, for being such a wonderful human being, and such a wonderful friend, and such a wonderful devotee of the Lord. Let us all, from our core of our hearts, thank Yash and invoke Krishna's blessings upon his family by loudly chanting Hari Bol. we should invoke much higher blessings by doing much louder, please. And how many people want to celebrate their birthday like this? Sitting with a bunch of sadhus. It's a great example. It's a wonderful example for children, a wonderful society, a wonderful example for society. Lord Jesus said in Bible that if you want to be a real follower of God, you must stand out from amongst the people and be separate. He said, be in this world, but not of this world. So although we may mingle in our business and mingle in our society, but our values, our ethics, and our devotion is preserved. And that is something wonderful. And giving this example to your children is something that we very deeply admire. And we're grateful for that. So on behalf of all the devotees today, I wish you, Yash, a very happy birthday. And pray that Sri Radha Gopinath's infinite blessings shower upon you and your family members. Thank you very much. And we have a very special gift for you tonight. One gift is we're not going to ask for questions. And the other, you brought it, Sri Dhamma? Can you bring it here? We brought you special imported from Russia birthday cake. This is from Ukraine or Russia? Russia. This is from Russia. Ukraine is even better. This is all Russian prasad. As a souvenir of its being traveling so many thousands of miles, it is a little crushed. And this is a small gesture of our love from myself and the temple devotees. And then cut cake?